We're going to study the life of Samson tonight and talk about him as one of our faith walkers, Samson, who is found in Hebrews chapter 11. What shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson. And then we're going to read directly into his story, Judges chapter number 13, and so many things. The story of Samson. Now, God's taken four chapters of the Bible. Think about that, four chapters of the Bible. And he set it aside for this man by the name of Samson. And so we're going to look at those four chapters, kind of, I think, skip across the mountaintops and get into what we need to get into tonight to see, preacher, what in the world? How does a man like Samson end up in Hebrews chapter 11? I think that we'll take an honest look at him, but also I think we'll talk about some things that will be an encouragement tonight also. Let's all stand, Judges chapter 13 and verse number 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he, this is the purpose for which God created him, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Look at the end of that same chapter. So go all the way to verse 24 and 25. The Bible says, verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we look at Samson, dear God, that we had to Lord, do an honest examination of his life, Lord, and not so that we can, Lord, approach him with a critical spirit, but so that we can put his life under the microscope and we can learn and we can certainly be warned of some things. But Lord, thank you, dear God. As we mentioned last week, if the only candidates you had for men of faith were perfect men, then there'd be no candidates. And if the only person that you could use was a flawless person, then nobody would be used. And so, Lord, I am thankful that you included these men in, Lord, Hebrews chapter 11. May we learn, and, Lord, may we be warned, and then also may we be encouraged. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Samson, as I mentioned, his story occupies just four chapters of the Bible. We start in chapter number 13, and we see the miraculous birth of Samson. And the Bible gives us the purpose for which God was going to perform this miracle. What was the main purpose of Samson's life? Well, God told his mother before she even became pregnant. She said, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The Philistines has come in, they've taken control, and now they have ruled over Israel for 40 years, and the people of God begin to cry out for help and a deliverer, and God goes to this barren woman, a miracle birth. Okay, God changed the whole direction of her life, performed a physical miracle so that Samson could be born. And so his birth was announced by an angel. We're not going to do a verse-by-verse study of this chapter. His birth was miraculous in that his mother was barren. He was to be a Nazarite, and so God wanted him to be separated in a very specific way unto God. His purpose was to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And as he grew, we read at the back the end of the chapter, as he grew, the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of God began to empower him. And if you stopped right here at the end of chapter 13, I think we'd all say, I'm going to tell you what, you talk about setting up for one of the greatest men that would ever judge Israel. I mean, here God sends an angel, miracle birth. He's separated in a very sanctified, holy way unto the Lord. He's given Christian parents. He has his purpose outlined. Don't you think that how many times his mama, when he was growing up, said, sit down, Samson, I want to tell you about one more time about the angel coming. I want to tell you that I couldn't have children. You're a miracle child. That angel said that God's going to use you to deliver. I mean, he grew up knowing these things and hearing these things. And we see in verse 24 and 25, folks, this is all the way up to his adult, beginning of his young adult life. We see nothing but positives and good. Verse 24, and the woman bare a son, called his name Samson, and the child grew. And the Lord blessed him. The blessing of God was upon this young man. And as he began to be in the camp of Dan, which that's kind of the military camp, all right, man. If you were a member of the tribe of Dan and you were a man, this was a warrior tribe. And so you know what? He started showing up and was part of his training as a warrior. And you know what? There began to be, I think, murmurings within the camp. I'm going to tell you something. There's something different about this young man. I mean, he's holy in a way that most young men aren't holy. He's separated in a way that most young men aren't separated. And boy, watch when he's preparing for battle. Watch as he's going through the drills. There's times as if the Spirit of God, as if he's doing things that he could not normally do, no human could do, that God's power is on him and God's blessings on him. And man alive, like I get to the end of this chapter and I'm like, yes, this dude is headed right to Hebrews 11. And then he begins to battle some things in his life. And the chapter number 14 and chapter number 15 that we're going to take some time, and I'm going to give you at least an overview of, but we all of a sudden begin to see a problem develop in his life. And this problem is a reoccurring problem that begins to develop in his life. And you think to yourself, God allowed him to be born in a miraculous way, and God separated him in extra holy fashion. And yet, what's going on, Samson? And Samson, are you going to end up being just one of those stories that's just utter tragedy? I mean, the only worth of your life is to preach it so that other people will know not what to do and not how to live. And God created you to be a deliverer and to deliver the nation from the Philistines. And are you going to just utterly fail at this? And so we begin again in verse number 14, the story takes a turn. We want to do some teaching because even though he ends up in the hall of faith, he certainly didn't get it all right. The Bible says in verse 1, chapter 14, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. This is against the law of God, against the principles of God's word. And you know what? His mother and father know this, and so that they're trying to redirect his attention in a godly way, back to a godly path. We see in verse 3, then his father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Wow. Okay, stop, young people. Let's take note. You're going to start watching Samson get into a vicious cycle because all of a sudden he begins to want something that God does not want him to have. And he's very insistent on it. You're going to see that this thing keeps coming up in his life. And the more that he's denied it, it seems like the more determined he is to have it. That's a dangerous path to walk. That's a dangerous path to walk. I think up to this point, before he makes this trip, by the way, he went down to Timnath. Let's do a bit about the geography, okay? What's he doing in Timnath? Well, Timnath is right on the border of where the Philistine land is and the Israelite land is. It is in a part of Palestine, but it's in a part of Palestine that at this time is occupied by the Philistines. Hey, he's in the wrong neighborhood, hanging out with the wrong crowd. If you look at the very last verse in chapter 14, it says, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his what? So I think that this whole idea of ending up down there in Timnath is he just met one Philistine guy that seemed like a pretty cool guy. And they were interested in a lot of the same stuff, and they had a lot in common. And he's like, hey, why don't you come down and spend a few weekends down here with me? Hey, man, we can do some things, and we can go some places. And can you see him going in and saying, come on, guys, come on, girls. Mom, Dad, I met this really neat person, and we're just going to go hang out. We're not going to do anything wrong. And, you know, his parents will be there and. And you know what? All of a sudden, he's spending time down in Timnath. He's spending time spending more time hanging around the Philistines than he is the children of God. And whoever you hang around at that age, that's where you're going to start noticing the guys and the girls. Okay? I was laughing because somebody was telling me, start before I tell the story, I better remember who it was so it's not too close. But I know who it was. We're safe. And he's talking about this guy at work that he works with, and the guy's getting ready to get his fourth divorce. It's fourth divorce. And so the guys at work, you know, you got to understand, girls, it doesn't work with ladies the way it does with men, you know. They're giving him a hard time about it, you know. And they're, you know, hey, man, you know, what is going on? So my brother, I'll tell you who told me the story. My brother Bob, he said, man, I wasn't going to put that in there, but you might want to put that out of there. So. But he starts giving this guy a hard time, and he looks at Bob and says, well, I'm sorry, we can't all have perfect marriages. And my brother Bob said, well, can I just ask you, where did you meet your first wife? In the bar. Okay, where did you meet your second wife? At a tavern. Where did you meet your third wife? At a bar. He says, can you see a pattern? He said, well, where'd you meet your wife? In church. And he said, oh, okay, all right, maybe there's something to that. Might be a good place to be looking for a wife or a husband, and that's in the house of the Lord. But you know what? Samson wasn't doing that. Now watch this, folks. Philistines are, remember this, Egypt's a type of the world. Philistines a type of what? Thank you. Of the flesh. All right. I've said that a number of times. Come on now. Got that now? Next week you're going to be ready for the quiz, aren't you? All right. And you know what? Philistines are part. And you know what? He's playing around with the flesh. Well, you don't realize how strong I am. Yeah, Samson, I know you're strong. But you're not stronger than that old flesh. But I'm smart. He's going to think, he's going to prove to these Philistines just how smart he is. Matter of fact, he's going to trick them out of 30 changes of garment. He's going to walk down there with one suit of clothes. He's going to walk back with 31 because he's going to get 30 suits of clothes from these guys. All they're risking is one each, you know, so that they'll make the bet. I mean, he's the one that's going to have to come up with 30, and there's no way he's going to lose this. You know why? Because he's smarter than the flesh. You're not smarter than the flesh. You're not stronger than the flesh. You hang around the devil's crowd and you think, I don't care. But preacher, I'm strong and I'm not like everybody else and I can stand up and I'm just going to sit there and weep because you're fooling yourself. You're not fooling me. And you know what you need to do is there's a reason. You don't go certain places. You don't hang around with certain people and you stay away from the crowd and the worldly crowd. Just stay away. Stay away. You won't be put in this situation, you see. But there he is, wrong place. And so we see in chapter 14, he gets absolutely crazy. He had over here, Hill's infatuated with this woman, and his mom and dad can't talk him out of it, and nobody can talk him out of it, and he's going to get his way with or without his mom's help, and he keeps going down there, and watch it, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That heart is the seat of the emotion. And you know what, folks? It's fickle. It's fickle. It can change so quick. And somebody you think you're madly in love with, a year later you can hate with all of your heart. I'm telling you the facts of life here, okay? You can be so infatuated and so blinded, and it's emotions that's behind. And you know what? Maybe people are trying to tell you, but you know what? It's hard to... What Lydia tell me when I wrote the statement, what did she say? She said, preacher, I know I'm not supposed to... I know I'm not supposed to pursue or like or want a lost boy, but I'm just feeling so much I can't think. Did you hear that? That came out of the mouth of a 16-year-old girl. And everybody ought to hear that. I'm feeling so much I can't think. You know what? That's where emotions, boy, get wound up. And that's why in the multitude of counselors, young people, there is safety. Because, see, I'm not going to be Twitter-pated like you're Twitter-pated. I'm going to see with a clear eye. And I love you. And I want what's best for you and mom and dad. That's why mom and dad's going to sit down sometimes and they're going to say some things and they're going to say, you know what? They're going to put up a red light when you want a green light. And you're going to want that green light so bad and it's not going to make any sense. But if you will just trust your parents and trust the Lord, it won't be very few years later where you're turning around, look back and go, wow, that is so clear now. How can I see it now this clear and I couldn't see it clearly back then? And that's where Samson is. You know what, folks? Everything could have been avoided if he just listened to mom and dad right here at this time in his life. If he just would have. But you know what? buddy, he was going to do it. There was no stopping him, and he knew. And so there it is, you see. And so Samson, the whole journey begins with Samson going, starting to spiral down just because of this situation. So his mom and dad, when they saw that he's fixed to do it, they go down, they try to take a part in it. As they're traveling down to Timnath to meet the young lady, there's a lion that confronts Samson. And you know what? The Spirit of God comes mightily upon him. Samson, do you remember that? I mean, feel this. The Spirit of God comes upon you. God is giving you power to do things that the average man cannot do. And don't throw that away. Don't throw it away. You're about to throw that away. You know, God's hands on you. I mean, you are a miracle child. Remember mama taking your little fat chubby cheeks and say, look at me, I want to tell you the story of the angel. You're here for a greater purpose. Don't throw it away. He slays the lion, and then he goes down, and the Bible says, verse 7, he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Yeah, well, she is now. She's not going to be in a few minutes. And after a time, he returned to take her, and of course, he goes and sees this lion. There's bees, a swarm of bees that are in the lion. Now, wait a minute. As a Nazirite, he's not supposed to touch a dead carcass. Part of the Nazirite vow, you can't touch a dead carcass. Okay, if God says you're not to touch that, and the devil wants to get you to touch that, how does he get you to touch it? You know what he does? He puts something sweet in the dead carcass. It's called baiting the trap. Okay, Brother Val, you taught me a little bit about that. We were trudging up and down those little runoffs and the creeks and the ditches out there. You know, it's one thing to set a trap. It's another thing to just sweeten the set a little bit. Just something that's going to make them curious. Just something that's going to draw them a little harder. Just something that will make them turn off all of the natural instinct that says don't step there, and they do it anyway. And so the devil, listen to me, if you don't remember anything else what I'm saying tonight, the devil's real good at putting honey in a dead carcass. But just because there honey's in that dead carcass, it doesn't change the fact that that's a dead carcass. And so you know what he did? He looked at the sweet and he ignored the law of God. And he said, having that honey is more important than my Nazirite vow. Are you seeing this? Would he have been on this trip if he'd have listened? Would he have even been near this situation? And so it just keeps compounding. I'm going to watch it. You're going to watch this thing. It's like a little snowball that you see that they start at the top of a hill, and it just starts going, and then it just keeps picking up momentum. And as you're going through these two chapters, at some point you just want to scream, stop, stop. And you'll see it. I got a verse in this chapter I want to show you where I think Samson even knows it needs to stop, and he says it out loud. But does he stop? No. And so there he is. And then he comes down there. Now he's smart, and he's strong. Okay, he's smarter than the Philistines, and he's stronger than the Philistines. Not too many Israelites walk by themselves amongst the Philistines. Buddy, I've also did some things in the camp there at Dan that most of them couldn't do. Very confident in himself, in his own strength. Okay, very confident in his smarts. I can outsmart these people. So he says, I'm going to give you a riddle. I'll give you 7 days. And if you solve the riddle, then I'll give each of you a change, a shirt and a change of garment. And he said, if you can't come up with the answer, then you ought to give me one. And he's like, you know what? They're never going to guess this. I'm not risking anything. But the world doesn't play fair. The world, the devil, doesn't keep the rules. That's one of the things you ought to understand is we're raised with certain values and stuff, and we think that the values that we have is going to be the values the world have. It's not the same. You say, well, I would have never said that. Well, they're not you. But I wouldn't have taken advantage of that situation. Well, they're not you. They don't think like you, okay? He's in the land of the Philistines now. Okay, he's not home on the back row of the church. He's in the land of the Philistines, okay? And so all of a sudden, seventh day comes along. Boy, I'm telling you what, the Philistines, they got a hold of this little girlfriend, you know, the one he's Twitter-pated. And they basically said, you've got to find out the answer. We're not losing this bet. And if you don't give us the answer, we're going to burn your father's house, burn you. We'll burn you up. Now and so she starts working on him and working on him and working on him and finally wears him down. Finally, the seventh day, he says, all right. She's crying and weeping and pulling the woman tricks. Unfair, unfair. No man could stand against these things. And he finally tells her the answer to the riddle. And then the Bible says that immediately that she went and told, end of verse 17, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. Just boom. As soon as she found out, she said, thank you. Went out there and told them. Hey, whose side is she on? Okay, well, I thought she loved me. Well, whose side is she on? And then, of course, they come in there and they say, and the city said unto him, verse 18, on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? He said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. So many things I want to say right now. And there's not a one of them I should say, so I'm just going to keep moving. Keep moving away from that. Son, you should have realized that back in verse 3 and 4, okay? So Samson then, you know what he does? He loses the bet. So what is his reaction? Watch this. It keeps spiraling. Are you watching this? Okay, why don't you learn, Samson? Okay, are you seeing yet that this is not going well? But he's got to answer, okay, well, I lost the bet. I don't have 30 changes garment. What am I going to do? So he goes down to Ashkelon. And now watch this. Now he's killing 30 men. He goes and kills 30 men. I think if that happened today, we'd call him a serial killer. Kills 30 men so he can steal one of their garments off their back and bring them back to these people. Well, how's this going for you, Samson? Hey, Samson, isn't it time to do this? Isn't it? Come on. Now notice what he does. Verse 20, but Samson's wife, wait a minute. End of verse 19. And his anger was kindled and he went up to his father's house. Okay, now. This would be a real good time. I'm going to just be very, okay, transparent and honest, and I don't want you even going to Timnah. I hope some of you are smart enough to never even have a chapter 14 in your life. But you're not going to get it all right. Okay, you're not going to get everything right. Sometimes you're going to go a little ways down a road, and you're going to watch this thing start going out of control. And you know what? You have a quitting place, and he has a quitting place here. He stops. He's mad. He found out what the world really was, okay? Samson, you just found out what the world really is. And they're not going to change, and you're not going to change them, and you're not smarter and stronger than them. Okay, so he went back to his dad's house. He's mad. But you know what? That would be a good time for you to go back to your father's house and sit down at the table and say, Mom, Dad, I got to talk to you about this. Tell the whole story. Say, you know what? I had no idea. I thought she really cared. And I thought this was guy was my real friend. Well, by the way, that real friend of his, verse 20, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Used as his friend. Wow, think about that. Just, you know, there's real friends, and then there's people that use you for what they want. Okay, that's the world. So right here, I'm like, okay, you can get this thing turned. Okay, come on. I know us men have egos, and I know your pride's hurt, and I know that you're mad, and I know you feel like you've been cheated, but that's what the world will do. So learn. All right? And say, Mom, Dad, huge mistake, dodged a bullet. Could end up spending the rest of my life with a woman like that and with people like that, but I'm back, I'm listening, I'm returning to my vows. Okay. Chapter 15, verse 1. But it came to pass within a while, after in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And that means a baby lamb. And he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But his father would not suffer. Her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Wherefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? When I heard that, I thought, well, I'm sure his older daughter appreciated that. Really? Hopefully she wasn't around when he said that. So, take her, I pray thee, instead of her. Okay, Samson, you know what? He's sitting there and he's thinking about this when he's at his father's house. And he's there for a while. Then it gets down to harvest time, wheat harvest. Let it go. Let it go. Okay? That ought to have been the end of it. But the whole time, instead of learning something, he's just sitting around eating up with the fact that he did not get what he wanted. And he lost a bet. And he's going to go back and he's going to get even. He's going to get his way. And by the way, he said, her father said I could have her. And so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bring a gift. And I'll show up with a different spirit, a different attitude, and I'll win them over. I'll turn on my personality, and I'm going to get this thing straightened around. And I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to show mom and dad this is going to work out. So he shows up, and guess what? Oh, man, wow, we didn't expect to see you again. After the dirty trick she played on you, I figured you'd hate her guts. So I thought, well, shoot, he's not going to want her, so I gave her to your friend. But, hey, look at her younger sister. She's a lot cuter. So why don't you take her? And Samson's sitting there going, and I'm like, son, run. Or you only been there 5 minutes. Is it getting any better? Why are you back there? Why are you playing around with the Philistines again? When it comes to the flesh, you're not going to win. So now, all of a sudden, he goes back and he's betrayed again. And so now he's going to get his revenge. Now all of a sudden he's getting in the flesh, okay? So the Philistines, it's a picture of the flesh, stirring up his flesh, and now he gets mad. Verse 3, Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure? And then he goes out, and I don't know how, I'd love to see this, you know. How do you catch 300 foxes, first of all? And but he does it. And then he ties, so there's 150 pairs, okay, and he takes two at a time, and he ties their tails together, and he basically is going through the land of the Philistines to all the corn that's getting ready to be harvested. Can you imagine when that corn is standing up and ready to be harvested, and you're ready to pull all of that in, and all of a sudden somebody decides to burn down every one of your fields? And he's picked an interesting way to do it, and he takes a firebrand, puts it between it, and you see these two foxes trying to pull each other apart, and they're running, and they're scrambling, and they're throwing sparks everywhere, and he goes a little bit farther and sets a couple more loose, and he does this 150 times and burns down a bunch of the fields. Philistines, you know what? They find out why he did it. Now think about this. The world also, and their sin has consequences, because the Philistines get mad when they find out what happened. They go to the guy that was supposed to be Samson's father-in-law, okay, and says, what's the deal? What did you guys do to make this guy mad? Well, you know, we kind of did this. And they said, well, we'll just burn you and your daughter, your house. Okay. Then, now, once you get down to verse number 7. So that's what's happened up to here. The Philistines, into verse number 6, and the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father's father with fire. All right, we're getting to another stopping point here. All right, listen. God put revenge. God judged the man who withheld his daughter. God judged her for what she did. Isn't this a good stopping point? All right, you got your revenge on the Philistines some. You burnt their fields. God took care of them. And he even knows it. Look what it says. He knows it. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you. And after that I will what? And folks, that's one of the biggest lies we'll say to ourselves. Well, I know that I'm not supposed to be doing this, and I'm going to stop. And I'll tell you, as soon as I just, one more party next Friday night, and after this next party, I'm not going back. Okay, one more trip to the tavern, and I'm just going to do that. I'll have a big celebration with the guys, and then I'll cut it off. Okay, and it's always one more, and it's always one more. But the problem is, he said this. I'm going to, all right, I think at this point, don't get me wrong, I don't know if you want to keep score. I didn't write down the score. But it seems like this is a good place just to step back again and say, all right, I finally did learn my lesson. And you know what? God has protected me for the most part. He's preserved me, and it's a good walking away point, but he just couldn't stand it because I still got to pay those guys back that burnt the woman that I want that I shouldn't have had. So I'm going to do one more thing. So you know what he does? He smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down, dwelt in the top of the rock Edom. Now, he goes and he says, who did it? Who are the guys that burnt this man and the wife I almost had? Okay, well, that's these guys over here. Okay, I'm going to go over. I'm going to kill all of them. So he kills them. I don't know how many. Says there's a great slaughter. I don't know how many. Doesn't give a number here. So now he's going back, and he's going back to the land of Judah, and he's going up on top of a mountain. He just literally climbed all the way to the top of a mountain, on the top rock at the top of the mountain, and he's just now sitting up there going, wonder what's going to happen now. Well, all of a sudden, 3,000 Philistines show up. No, I'm sorry. A great army of Philistines show up. And they tell the land of Judah, we're about ready to go to war. We're about ready to destroy your land. Wait, well, what provoked this? We were living in peace. We know that we're living under servitude. We're paying our taxes. Well, this is what Samson did, and he's going to pay for it. So 3,000 of his own people climbed that mountain. Can you imagine him sitting on top of the mountain? Here comes 3,000 of his own people. And one of them, whoever the representative, comes up and says, Samson, we got an issue. What are you doing? Why are you stirring up problems? I mean, come on, we're getting along. I know we're under servitude, but they're our lords. We got to keep them happy. Just the way it is, accept it. I'm sorry, but you weren't put on this planet, Samson, to accept the Philistine rule. You were put on this planet to break the rule of the Philistines. Now, folks, I'm going to get there when we get to the end of the lesson. But God was going to use Samson to accomplish his purposes. And he does at the end of this story. But Samson could have done it God's way. Or God says, you know what? If you're going to be a stubborn head, I'll do it a different way, but I'm still going to get my purposes accomplished. It's kind of like this. All right, Joe, God's put you on this planet to accomplish something for him. And I think God is going to use you to accomplish that. Now, you have to decide whether you're going to enjoy the ride or not. Because God can do it the easy way or he can do it the hard way. Okay, because when I get to the end of the story, you know what you're going to find? That he breaks the band, the rule of the Philistines. But man, the way he has to do it. By the way, that last great act of faith, we're getting there. It's going to put him in Hebrews chapter 11. Man, the ride could have been a lot easier. Could have been a lot better. And so there he is. So they 3,000 people, he said, all right, tie me up. Take me down there. Just promise me one thing. When you get me tied, you won't fall upon me and kill me yourself. No, we're not going to kill you. You're one of us. Delivers him to the Philistine. I got to fast forward here. The Philistines, they take him, and they come to a place called Lehi. Philistines, verse 14, shout against him. So all of a sudden, here he is in the midst of all of the Philistines, and he's tied up, and they shout. They're celebrating the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, isn't God good? Spirit of God. You know what God's saying? I'm going to let you taste it one more time, son. I'm going to show you what you can do if you would just let me use you and empower you. A miraculous thing. The Spirit of God comes upon him. See what it says here. Mightily upon him, the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And you know what? He looked around. You know what he found? Verse 15, a new jawbone of a donkey is sitting there laying on the ground. He just picks it up. The Philistines, here they come. And buddy, I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. There's no way a man could do what he's doing right now outside of an unusual supernatural moving of God upon his life. And he's feeling it and he's experiencing it. And God's giving him one more taste of it. Son, this is what I want for you. This is what I had for you. This is the purpose I put you here. Okay, and so you know what he does? He takes that jawbone and he goes to swinging and fighting. And you know what? The Bible says, verse 15, it says down in there, and slew 1,000 men therewith. Now watch how God takes care of him. Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand. And he called that place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance. By the way, I'm not saying it's the only time he's ever prayed in his life, but it's the first recorded prayer. All these other decisions he's made so far has just been, I'm strong enough, I'm smart enough. All of a sudden, he's down to a point of desperation. Can I just say here, this would be a good stopping point. And you're going to find out that for a while it was. I'm going to tell you, for a while it was. He woke up for a while. And it says this, it says he intimated him speaking, all right, verse 18, he was sore athirst and called upon the Lord, saying, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God, clave in hollow place that was in the jaw, there came water there out. When he had drunk, his spirit came again. He revived. Therefore, he called the place En-Hakkor, which is in Nehi unto this day. Now watch this, verse 20. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines. How long? Okay, now, these are early stories. This happened at the beginning. I don't know what kind, I'd say all of what you just read happened within a year. Okay, and you know what? He all of a sudden became a hero. He's the first guy that stood up against the Philistines and it worked. And he killed 1,000 of them. And you know what? He's got a reputation now. And people are looking at him for leadership and all this. And he's now going to judge Israel for 20 years. Now, when we get into chapter 16, folks, we're going to start at the very end of the 20 years, the end of his life. We're going to watch. I'm not saying that this is the 20th year, but it's near the end. So I think there's about 18 years here, 18 and a half years, where there's just quiet, there's silence. I don't know. I know this, he judged Israel, he had the position. There's no horror stories. He probably did a great job. You know, he was that man, he was that military leader. He's the man that Israel looked to him and said, if he can take the jawbone of a donkey and defeat 1,000 Philistines, then God hasn't forgotten us. And I think there was a courage that was drawn from that. And I think the spirit of Israel changed as a nation. Judah changed. And then we get to chapter 16, and he's at the latter part, the end of his reign here. Maybe year 18, 18 and a half. I'll let you judge that as I kind of put the timeline out. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. Now, Gaza, what's he doing in Gaza? Oh, look where Gaza is. It's near Timnath. You know what? He's hanging around down in the old stomping grounds. Watch this. If you are not careful, some sin, something you wanted way in your youth that you didn't get, and you let it go for a while, the devil can come back. Come on, I don't care if you have lived for God for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. I think there was something inside of him that still bothered him that he didn't get what he wanted. You better learn to let some things go. Why did he go down to the same area? Find out where this is, folks. Look on the map. It's right near Timnath, to the same type of people. And he saw someone who was a harlot. And I wonder, come on, I'm just going to say that. I wonder if she looked a little bit or reminded him a little bit like. Okay, same nationality, same people, same families. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And he went in unto her. And then he goes to, I'll drop down through, that's a three verse story. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass afterward he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, which by the way is down near Gaza, which by the way is near Timnath. He's down there again. Wait a minute, he broke some habits, and for a while he did great. But you know what? Where the devil got you once, come on, every single person in this room needs to hear what I'm going to say. If at some point the devil got you with this, and you've got victory over it, don't think that you never have to worry about it again, or you can let your guard down. Because it's a lot easier to do something the second time than it is the first time. And it's a lot easier to do it the third time than it is the second time. And you know what? I'm not sure that he ever really let this thing go. All I know is he got to a point in his life where he found a weak moment, and the devil set the trap. And there's a woman there, and she, guess what? She's a Philistine. And here we go again. We're back at Timnath all over again, only almost 20 years later. Okay, most of you know the story of Samson and Delilah. The Philistines, as they realize that this woman has cast a spell on him, and he's head over heels, then here they come again. Does any of this ring a bell, Samson? Don't you remember this from before? And all of a sudden, here's a woman that's being threatened and being told, you know what, you need to find out the secret of his strength. And you know what? Same thing, crying and weeping. Hey, is there an alarm going off? Have you forgotten what happened before and what that had cost you? But he just, you know, keeps plowing straight ahead. And so here's what she does. She starts saying, well, where's your strength? Where's your strength? And he comes up with three different stories. And, you know, first of all, he says seven green withes. You'll tie me with those. And that, of course, he jumped up and broke those. New ropes that had never occupied, he jumped up and broke those. Now watch this, how he starts getting closer to the truth. Seven locks of my head, my hair with a web, whatever a web is. I don't think it's a World Wide Web, but it was a web. And all of a sudden, you notice how he's getting closer to telling her. All of a sudden, he's talking about his hair. And then finally, she presses him, and you know what? He gives in. Say, preacher, up to this point, I'm trying. I know he defeated 1,000 Philistines, and he did that. I know he judged Israel for 20 years, and we don't know what really happened there or up to this point. But Hebrews 11, you know, this guy, if there's a chapter on spiritual losers, so far wouldn't he fit better? Well, it's a sad ending, but it's not the end. Because you know what? He finally tells her, hey, I've never had a razor come to my head. And she saw the sincerity in his eyes. So she went and told the Philistines, this is it. You get ready. And when he was asleep, people talk about Delilah shaving him, read the Bible. It wasn't really Delilah that did it, but I think he laid on her lap while it was done. And you know what? The Bible says that she said, the Philistines be upon him. The Bible says that they put out his eyes. If you look at that word put out, it means to, if you look at the root word, it says to bore out. Just wanted to give you that little graphic illustration. This was not good. This was horrid. So they take this man who's lost the power of God, the strength of God, the Spirit of God upon his life. And they bore out his eyes. They shave his head. Okay, they shaved his head. They captured him, bore out his eyes. The Bible says that they take him to where they grind the meal and they have him walk in circles. Okay, and that's what they do. It's in verse number 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. Yeah, back to where you couldn't stay away from, bound him with fetters of brass. Brass speaks of judgment. He did grind in the prison house. So he was hooked up to a contraption where he just walked in circles. And he did that. Say, preacher, how long did he do it? Well, verse 22 says this, howbeit the hair of his head, what? Began to grow again after he was shaven. So he was shaven. Okay, so if I went to the barber tomorrow and I said, shaver, shave me, burr cut, how long would I have to walk in circles every day grinding meal before my hair got back to where it was when Samson's hair was where it was because of his Nazarite vow? I don't know how fast your hair grows, but I know this. If I go much more than a month, it's starting to tickle my ears. I feel like I got to go get a trim, but that's a month. Okay? And that's not from being shaven. That's just... So how long? Did it take a year? I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know, maybe I'd ask. Maybe I ought to Google this. Google knows everything. I didn't. But I think it had to have been a year. It may have been 2 years. I don't know. I know everybody's hair grows a little bit differently, but and I don't know how long. But you know what? There was a part of God that says, you know, for a while, listen to me, young man, for a while, until that hair grows back, you're going to just grind. You're just going to grind meal. Now, boy, I had this thought. Think about this. I talk about faith walkers. What's been our theme verse? We're to walk by faith, not by what? All right, let that settle in on you. Say, preacher, why is this guy in there? Well, he's about to accomplish why God put him on this earth, but man, he could have taken a different path to do it. He could have been one of the greatest heroes we ever talked about. An example where I didn't have to have any hesitation. Guys, this is the guy you want to pattern your life after. You know, but he's going around in circles, and he can't see. Now, I don't know what happened in that year, 18 months, 2 years. I don't know how long it was. But don't you think there was a lot of talking to God? Don't you think there was ample opportunity to look back over every single decision in his life that brought him to this place? Pastor, why is Samson there? Look right up here. Let me help you. Because God knew that not all of us would get it right. And kids, I don't want you to take this story and let the devil turn it to bad in your heart and say, well, see, if I go do my own thing, don't listen to my parents, I can still accomplish God's will. You might want to think about 2 years of your eyes bored out grinding meal along the way of doing finally what God wants you to do. There's an easier way to do it and a more blessed way to do it. But I don't know what happened. That's between him and Almighty God. I think, this time I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. As I'm just sitting back in my office, my eyes closed, thinking of being Samson, day after day, I don't know how long, 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours, unhook him, lead him blind back to the cell, throw some slop in front of him, eat, try to get some sleep, dragged back day after day after day, no holidays, no days off, no Sabbath. You're in the Philistines, there ain't no Sabbath, there ain't no day of rest. You want to be with the Philistines, you're with the Philistines. I don't know, but I sit there thinking to myself, as I'm thinking, if I was in that situation, yeah, you'd go through all the range of emotion, but sooner or later, when it's just you and God every day walking in circles, I think that maybe at some point he remembers the feel, the touch of his mama's hands on his little fat cheeks and said, let me tell you why God put you on this earth. He put you, that angel said you were going to deliver, the beginning process of delivering us from the rule of the Philistines, it was going to be you. Now, why did this man end up in Hebrews 11? I don't know. I'll talk to him about it. You'll get a chance to talk to him about it. But I think somewhere around that time when he's walking by faith now, not by sight, because he didn't have a choice. Don't make God have to put your eyes out before you learn to walk by faith, not by sight. You know what his problem was from the beginning? Lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh. God said, I'm going to put it so you can't see anything or think about anything but me. I'm just thinking somewhere in the process of that, and he's remembering what his mama told him, and he knows his purpose. Don't you think, you tell me if you think it's plausible, that at some point he began to say, God, if you put me on this earth to do that, I sure messed it up. But if you would give me one more chance, if you would let me have one more chance to do what you put me here to do in the first place, I'm telling you, I would believe in you and I would trust you that we could do it. So you can imagine, what is it, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, I don't know. And all of a sudden he hears all kinds of ruckus and there's a carnival atmosphere and some kind of festival or feast day. And all of a sudden here they come in the morning to get him and they're like, more than the one that usually comes or two that usually comes. And boy, I'm telling you what, they're laughing and say, hey, you don't have to grind meal today. He's just listening. And he said, all the lords, that's what it says, all the lords of the Philistines are gathered into one place. Now, folks, this would be like the State of the Union address. Okay, this is all the big wigs, all the politicians, all the mighty men, all the leaders, if everybody in that building goes down, it sets the Philistine nation back decades. I mean, all the leadership, all the big shots, all the big wigs. And they decided they're going to bring you in and make sport of you. You're about to become their entertainment. Now, here's what I think. That maybe at that moment, and they didn't understand it, but there's this little smile comes across Samson's face. I don't know if those bored out eyes could cry or not, but maybe one tear trickled down. And he said, you're gonna let me have the chance, aren't you? I mean, how many times did he pray going around there? Just give me one more chance to do your will. One more chance to do your will, to complete what you put me on this earth to complete. Now, folks, this is why he's in Hebrews chapter 11. Because you know what? As they're walking him there, and by the way, the Bible says they made sport of him for a while, buddy. He was the entertainment, and they were laughing, and they were. Can you imagine what they would do to a blind man? Cruel, cruel. And I'm sure they've hurt him, and I'm sure they've injured him at this point. But let's read down the end of the story. Let the Bible finish it out. Verse number 27, now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God. See, that's why I think maybe this deal was struck while he was, remember me, I pray thee, strengthen me, I pray thee. Remember what I said about one more chance? Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. In his life. And that's the end. That's it. They come, his brethren come, they take his body, they bury him. And then this final conclusion, and he judged Israel 20 years. 20 years. So preacher, what did we learn tonight? Well, let me give you a couple things. Number one, don't play around with the sins of the flesh. I am begging you, young ladies, I'm begging you, young men, I'm begging you, adults, do not play around with the sins of the flesh. Treat the flesh as the enemy, not as a friend to be courted and coddled. Number two, if God has denied you something that you should not have, let it go. Let it go. The more determined you are to have your own way, the more likely you're to become a casualty. Hey, God's going to give you some of those stopping places. He gave it to Samson if he'd have just stopped. This is a good place to cease. I've learned enough. I'm not going to keep this thing going. Stop. Number three, sin. Well, I wish this was original with me, and it's not. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and will cost you more than you want to pay. Number four, no matter what cost has come with the bad decisions of your life, here's where the encouragement comes in. No matter what cost has come with the bad decisions of your life, if you are still breathing, you can still become a champion of faith. And that's encouraging. Hey, I'm glad. Can I say, I'm glad Rahab's in this chapter. I'm glad Samson's in this chapter. I know I've been fussing at Gideon and Barak, but I'm glad they're there. I'm going to fuss some more next week. I'm still glad he's there. You know why? Because if only the ones that got it right from the starting point to the end was allowed to be used of God and get the blessing of God, most of us would have thrown our hands up a long time ago and given up. So if you're still breathing, you can still become a champion of faith. Give this last thought. If God is denied the opportunity to use your life for his purposes, then he may choose to use your death for his purposes. How much better would it be to just give him your life? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this unusual man, unusual story. Lord, we know that you're sovereign. We know that you inhabit eternity. You're not a time traveler, you're a time dweller. When you were working the miracle of Samson's birth, you knew of the decisions that he would make, and yet you made him anyway. And you used him anyway. And you made sure the story was written down for our benefit. So, Lord, we bow to your wisdom and to your will. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that at the end of this story, ooh, what a verse, the hair of his head began to grow. And thank you, Lord, that even sometimes we may give up on ourselves, but you don't give up on us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would choose to close our eyes and walk by faith instead of one of these days have to have them bored out so that we learn what it is to walk by faith. Lord, may we be warned of the besetting sin that may be in our lives, and may we be also encouraged that you can mess up a whole lot on this journey called life. And thank God for those stopping places, those places that you just provide where we can kind of, if we will, just say, wow, now's the time, now's the opportunity to turn around and change things. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to gain wisdom from this story in helping us to complete your will for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.